Mark chapter 16. Will is going to read Mark 16, 17, and 18. And then Nathan will read that the second time. Eli, Hebrews 13, 8. You will read. Dave Fink, read Luke 9. 1 and 2. Anthony, Matthew 10, 1. Johnny, read Mark 9, 25. Brian, read Mark 7, 33 and 34. Colby, read Mark 16, 20. And Matt is going to read Mark 16, 20 the second time. Read Mark 16, 20. You'll read it a third time. Okay, when I was in Holland, I preached a healing crusade in the city of The Hague and saw some wonderful miracles. And then, as always happens when you're praying for the sick, always some battles in trying to get people healed. So, but it just reminded me of why healing is so important to God. In the scripture that we're going to read, this is, of course, the Great Commission when Jesus is telling them to go and preach, but then he includes, as part of the declaration of the gospel, supernatural power. And so I'm going to minister on praying for healing from Mark 16, 2 verses 17 and 18.
These are the signs that will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. Even if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they'll place their hands on the sick, and they'll recover.
Okay, praying for healing. Let's talk about healing personnel. If you're talking about praying for the sick, praying for healing, there is a great mistake that keeps many, many people from praying for healing. And that is a wrong idea. It's actually from hell. And that is that only certain people with the gift of healing can pray for the sick. And they speak about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of those in Corinthians speaks about healing. And so they say, well, this is a gift. Only certain people can do that. My father was saved in the 1950s. And if you know in America, that was the era of the great healing evangelists, T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Jack Coe. There were dozens of them. And this was just something that God was doing. But many of these, this was in the days before the internet, they were trying to build their ministry. And of course, they were all independent of churches. So they needed money to keep the program going. So they often presented themselves as being special men of God. And if you think about it, you know, they probably believed that they were special. But if you're competing for dollars because you don't have a local church, it's actually in your best interest for you to be more special than everybody else. And so one of the things they did was that not everybody can do what they do. Very much. They're on a higher plane, and they fasted for 197 days or, you know, something, you know, ridiculous like that. In fact, in our fellowship in the early days, there was actually only one guy that preached crusades. Nobody else did. And everybody defaulted for him. I like to do a healing crusade. Well, you got to go get the healing guy, because he's got the gift. And that guy definitely liked being the only guy and having no one else do what he did. So, very simply, the gift of healing, first of all, to correct a wrong understanding, is different than what we are reading in Mark 16. Okay, so Mark 16 is for everyone. He didn't single anybody out and say, this is for you, you, and you, not you, you. right? This is for everyone. When you read of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the healing is something special. That is, those who cannot exercise faith for themselves. In other words, if you're praying for someone unconscious, right? If Pastor Hart is praying for someone who's unconscious in a coma and he gives them a word, it's not going to do them much good, is it? Right? So a gift of healing would be you can't exercise faith for yourself, someone who's unconscious, someone perhaps is mentally impaired, but also for unsaved people. One of the things of healing, if you see, there's a man named Peter Ljunggren. He does incredible crusades in Muslim and Hindu countries. So he's praying, getting multiplied, thousands of people saved. Those people are getting healed without fully understanding Jesus Christ. He's preaching Jesus, they don't get it. So that would be a gift. God gives healing as a gift for people. But that is not what most of us are encountering on a day-to-day. Most of you are not praying for unconscious or people in a coma on a regular basis, right? So let's get that aside. It is not necessary to have a gift of healing in order to pray for the sick. So in our text, it's clear that healing is meant to be inclusive of everyone. It's universal. This is for all believers. So we read in the Bible all of the 12 disciples were used in healing. The 70 were used in healing. So if you are a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you qualify to pray for the sick. Let's read Mark 16, 17, and 18 the second time.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, they will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
Okay, so the first part, let's take the first part and the last part of this, because we're only concentrating on healing. These signs will follow those who are special and have a gift of healing. That is not what it says. These signs will follow those who believe. That is the qualification. So in other words, anyone who believes can do the second part, which is lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So the qualification is simply believing God, what he says about healing. Believing God about his power, he can heal, his track record, he has a history of healing. And then this is what the Bible says, Hebrews 13:8.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Okay, so this was a scripture that actually changed my entire ministry when I was at a time where I needed the power of God. In my studying, I was looking, and this verse came alive. It hit, I mean, I read this scripture 100 times before, but if Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, that means he should still do today what he used to do yesterday. In other words, in times past. And from that time, I said, therefore, God can heal the sick. These signs follow them that believe. In other words, you just have to build your own faith. You have to make up your own mind about healing. At the end of the day, what does God's word say? When I wanted to see people healed, sick people healed, I went to God's word. That is where I began to look. What does the Bible say about healing? My faith was built, as I said, Hebrews 13:8 came alive. It was mine. I believe from that moment that God would use me to see people healed. And then you build your faith. If you're wanting to see people healed, I recommend that you not read a book on why some people never get healed. That would not be helpful for you. Is I would read books and testimonies about healing. I was building my faith. And then at the end of the day, faith involves action. You have to act on what God says. Knowing about it, the point of this is not for me to get you to nod your head or to say amen. It is whether or not you will act on God's word. So I had a young man in Holland. He was saying, I want to pray for the sick, but sometimes I'm scared. And I told him, I said, look, I can make you a promise. 100% of all the people you don't pray for will not get healed. If you don't pray, no one will get healed. Okay? I promise you that. But if you do pray, some will get healed. And that is at the end of the day. I never saw miracles until I started praying for the sick. Personally. So in actual fact, the biggest hindrance is fear. That young man, he was honest with me. I'm afraid to pray for the sick. And I said, but let's be honest, it's actually just pride, isn't it? What you're afraid of is you're afraid of being embarrassed. You're afraid of telling somebody God can heal you. You're afraid of praying in front of somebody else. What if they don't get healed? But that's just pride. You have to make up your mind. Surrender your ego to God. I believe God, therefore I'm going to act on his word. So every single person here, if you are born again, you qualify, you could pray for someone sick and God would heal them. Okay, second thing, taking dominion. Healing is based on authority. Part of why this was even on my mind is in Holland, there is a... there's a couple there now pastoring in Switzerland, Matthias and Dori Kipfer. And seeing them brought back memories. I was the first person in our fellowship to go preach in Romania. You remember we had a man named Richard Brooks. He was not a part of our fellowship. He had gotten saved in prison. He was a drug dealer, got arrested in Australia for trying to import a whole bunch of drugs. And in prison, one of the pastors in our fellowship went and testified to him. Australia has a crazy prison system. They let you out of prison. Like, I would like to get baptized. They let him out of church, out of prison to come to church a few times. So, but he had no connection, didn't know how to find us. That was pre-internet. You couldn't look people up on the internet. And so he went to Romania and was trying to build a church. Anyway, long story, we came in contact with him. I was the first one to go. We held a healing crusade in the former, it was called the Casa de Cultura, the culture house. This is where they used to have propaganda meetings for the communists. And we had 1,000 people saved. It was unbelievable. Long story is this is in Brasov, Romania, which is in Transylvania, very high in the mountains. It's ski country. And so when I was there back then, they still had horse-drawn carts. So you'd be driving, and then there'd be a horse-drawn cart blocking the road, and it's a 500-foot drop-off with no guardrails. And so they said, that your flight, you have to leave at night. I said, I'm not driving at night. There's no way. Incredibly dangerous. You got to understand how primitive it was there coming out of communism. So I told the guy, I said, look, I cannot be here the last night. But we had one more night of the crusade. And so he said, Richard Brooks said, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to teach your people to pray for the sick. And so I said, have them here early. I'm thinking like 30 minutes early, hour early be good. Everything was chaos. I got there. I had 10 minutes to teach them how to pray for the sick. All of them are young. They're all teenagers, early 20s. What am I going to tell them in 10 minutes? So I just said, look, what you do is you take dominion. That's what healing is. Cast out the spirit causing the problem and command the body to be healed. That's as good as it gets. All right, let's go. That night, Dori Kipfern, that wasn't her name back then, she was a teenage girl. I don't remember how old she was, but she was a teenager. I said, tonight, these people are going to pray. And so I had them pray, and this teenage girl got a completely blind woman. She was totally blind, and this teenager, believe me, on what I said God's word would do, she laid hands on this woman, prayed, and this completely blind woman got healed. So, okay. All right, so that is why this has been on my mind every time I go to Holland and I see it, I'm reminded of God's goodness. So, healing is not based on a skill or a talent, it's based on authority. Authority is the right to use power that's given. Let's get two scriptures about authority. Luke 9:1-2.
Jesus had called the 12 together and gave them power and authority. authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
Okay. He's going to send the disciples. What does he give them? Power, which is supernatural ability, and authority. Authority is the right to use someone else's power. You become more powerful when you use someone else's power. Let me give you an illustration out of life. If you have a policeman, he can weigh 120 pounds. If he stands in the middle of the highway and puts up his hand to a semi-truck that weighs, 200,000 pounds, that he can stop that truck, not because the truck is going, oh my God, my 200,000-pound truck might be hurt if I run over this 120-pound guy. No, it's the authority, right? There's power behind that skinny little cop. Okay, that's what Jesus said. His disciples, we know they had problems. They weren't perfect, but they were following Jesus. He said, I'm going to give you my power. And then what is it going to do if you use my power? He said, you can cast out demons and you can cure disease. Matthew 10:1.
Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness.
Okay, notice here the casting out of spirits is connected to healing the sick. They can be two different things or they can be connected. All right, very simple. I'll tell you what I told those young teenagers in Romania. Healing comes by taking dominion. Healing doesn't come by you saying, oh God, pretty please, in the name of Jesus with sugar on top, would you, in thy will, heal? No, it comes by taking dominion. Number one, healing comes by taking authority over the spirit that is causing the problem in the first place. Mark 9:25.
When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.
Okay, this young boy has a physical problem. He cannot hear. He cannot speak. He's having convulsions, so maybe he had epilepsy, right? So when Jesus prayed, he didn't say, oh, Father in heaven, would in thy omnipotent graciousness please heal this boy. He said, there's something supernatural causing this. And he said, I command it, come out. And the boy was healed from that hour. When I first began to pray for the sick, I had seen a total of one miracle, and then I decided to hold a miracle healing crusade with International Healing Minister Greg Mitchell. How many miracles did I have? One. I had a great track record. One healing is all I'd ever seen. But I'm going to go for it. That was a great idea until I'm behind the stage and looking through the curtain and I see all these people coming in on crutches and wheelchairs. And then I thought, why did I do this? Because they honestly think Greg Mitchell, with one healing to his name, is going to help them. And so I prayed on the first night. I didn't understand really how to pray. There were certain things I didn't understand. Both me and my father were just starting out together, learning things. Prayed for a woman she had in her hand. I said, what's wrong? She said, I closed my hand, and when I closed my hand, I can't open it. She did it. It wouldn't open. She's struggling. And she pulled on it, and I heard it went pop as it came open. She said, I've already been operated on, too many years ago, but I think she'd already been operated on two or three times, and she says, now they want to operate again. So I prayed, oh God, please heal her. All right, try it. Close her hand. Nothing. This woman couldn't cook. She couldn't clean her house. Can't function as a mother, as a wife. So it's not working. She begins to cry, and it ticked me off. I said, this is not right that this woman's suffering like that. I didn't know. I had never done this before. I didn't have this understanding, but I got mad. And so I grabbed her hand and I said, you foul demon, come out of her right now. And instantly her hand was healed. From that moment, I said, wow, when did the healing come? Not when I prayed, Jesus, oh, please heal by thy power. When I commanded that spirit to leave. Second thing, second part of healing, very simple. Command the body to function normally. Mark 7, 33 and 34.
And take him aside from the crowd privately. He put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Theophathia, that is, be opened.
Okay, so now here's the second part of healing. So sometimes it's, I command that spirit to come out, that whatever's causing it. But now Jesus says he wants, in this case, here's a deaf and dumb, totally different. In this case, he's not commanding the spirit to come out. He says, be opened. Okay, who's he talking to? What's he talking to? He's talking to his ears. In other words, I command these ears to open, or in other words, these ears are going to hear, and then I command it to work as it should. That is crucial understanding. If you understand those two things in healing, it will revolutionize in praying for the sick. That, in essence, is how you pray for the sick. I command the healing. You know, you actually do yourself a disservice. You see through the years we learn things that, you know, bitterness can be connected and curses can be connected. So I see guys that, or praying for someone, sit in the chair and, you know, you got a short leg. All those can be a part. That's fine. But I see guys, that's what they want to do with every person. Every single person, I want to lead them in a lengthy prayer. It's going to take me 5 minutes to get through all the things we're praying about. I'm going to check your leg. Why don't you just command the spirit to leave? In this crusade, they were actually remarking on this. You didn't sit every person down. You didn't. No, because it's not necessary. The essence of healing, I command the spirit to leave. I command the body to function normally. Then, if that doesn't work, then I can speak to them about heart issues of bitterness, fear. You know, I may need a demonstration, you know, in a short leg or something. But that is what healing is all about. So that is what happened in Romania, Brașov, Romania. When Dori Kipfer commanded the spirit of blindness to leave this old woman, and I command her eyes to see, and they did. And God did. A miracle. You probably heard me tell the story. We were preaching back in early days. We used to do crusades, and Dad would do the crusade, and me and Harry Hills would do teaching seminars on healing in the mornings. So I did one and taught basically what I'm teaching here. This is what you do. And then I had some people come up and had some sick people. And had some back injuries, and so there was a guy there with a short leg, and so there was a cowboy from one of our churches. I don't know where he's from, but he checked this guy's leg. His leg was short, and I said, okay, now do what I said. Command the spirit to leave, and then command the body. So I was standing near him, and I'll never forget how this cowboy, he prayed like that. He went, come on, leg, come on out. And it actually did. The leg started to grow, but then it stopped. And he goes, no, I didn't say a little bit. I said, come out all the way. And the leg came out all the way, and the person was healed. Okay, that is the essence of healing. Final thought. Let's talk about signs following. God is simply waiting for people who will believe. Mark 16, 20. Here's the first time.
And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Okay. What's the first word of that verse, Colby?
And.
Oh, yours is and. Yeah. Okay.
They?
In other translations, it should be then. Then. It's a timing word. Then is, of course, telling you this comes after. All right. So. The first thing that happens, that needs to happen, is believing. We talked about that. You have to believe God. I can't do that for you. I can't build your faith. It's totally up to you. Secondly, there comes in our text declaring. Mark 16, 20.
Then the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs.
Okay, they went and preached everywhere, and then the Lord confirmed what they said. So obviously, part of what they said was, Jesus can heal you. So there's something powerful about declaration. You need to understand that. The year of Jubilee, every 50 years in the Old Testament Jewish calendar, it was a year of freedom. If you were in debt, if you were a slave because of your debt, in the 50th year, all your debts would be canceled. That'd be pretty cool if that worked now. That only works for Democrats and students these days, but nonetheless, okay. So the priest would have the trumpet would sound, and then he would declare the year of freedom. You can go free. Jesus said in Luke 4, he stands up and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And then he says, what's going to happen? He says, to recovery of sight to the blind, that's one of them. Deliverance of the captive. So he declared it. There's something powerful about this. You need to preach it. You get what you preach. There are some guys, they never see people healed because they're not preaching on healing. You get what you preach. So if you want to get miracles, and this may be applied later on down the road in your life or ministry, then preach on Jesus as a healer. I started seeing miracles in my church when I started declaring and preaching on healing. Number two, you need to say it personally. Jesus can heal. There's something profound about this. God can heal you. That is something profound that can be in different ways. But you know, yesterday I'm getting a haircut, and this guy has become a friend, but he had back surgery, and he was telling me how after back surgery everything is worse. And so when he finished, I waited until he finished first. I wanted my remaining three hairs to still be on my head. But I told him, listen, God can heal you. I told him that personally. God can heal you. I can pray for you. And right there in where I'm getting a haircut is I prayed for him that God would heal his body. So right here is where some guys, they don't want to say it because they are afraid of being embarrassed. What if I say God can heal you and then I pray and no one gets healed? So they don't want to, that's pride. You need to say it because declaration is a part of it. Then, of course, declare it publicly. If you come to the point where you're preaching a crusade, you say it. Any of you that were in Oceanside, you say, I follow along similar to what Pastor Mitchell did, is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Conference, I got testimonies of people healed at conference. They said, when you stood on the first night and said, God is going to heal sick bodies, then they said, I'm going to get healed tonight. And then we prayed. God did miracles in that. So believing, declaring, then comes demonstration. After you pray, you've got to get people to check themselves or test or do what they couldn't do before. And you'll discover many of the people who get healed will feel nothing while you pray. If they feel something, I think out of all the people I've prayed for in the crusade in The Hague, I think maybe only one person said, I feel like electricity or something. Everybody else didn't, but it doesn't matter. You don't get healed by electricity or by heat. You get healed by the power of God. Most people, as they check themselves, that is when healing will come. Our text finally says, God will work with you. Faith pleases God. In 1 Samuel it says, I will honor those that honor me. There's something profound about you believing God enough to tell people God will heal and you praying. Mark 16:20, the third time.
Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Okay, so the Lord worked with them, confirming the word. That's what you want at the end of the day. I can't heal a single person. I'm honest when I preach. I have no healing power. Jesus can, though, and he works with me and confirms what I preach. Here's a testimony that came out of a July conference. This man said, 32 years ago, I damaged my right shoulder, my rotator cuff, during military training. Over the years, my shoulder injury has caused tingling, numbness, and tightness all down my arm. I've endured many sleepless nights over the years because I'm not able to sleep on my right side. I have a challenging time raising my right arm above my shoulder during praise and worship. But on Monday night, when Pastor Greg began to call out specific body injuries, I joined with the conference body and believed Jesus for a miracle. After praying for healing, I lifted my arms as high as I could to praise God, and there was no pain or discomfort. That night, I was able to sleep all night on my right side. The next morning, I began testing my shoulder with push-ups, and there was no pain or discomfort. Glory to God, who is the Lord, thy healer. And so that is God confirming the word. That is what God will do. Okay, let's open for questions. You have questions about healing. I'll give you a chance to ask questions now.
He was helping you. He was pointing. It's all about you.
Pastor, I've noticed sometimes when you pray for someone and they don't get healed, you pray, usually try to at least like three times, and sometimes it will break at that third time.
Sure.
Is that something you're just sensitive to, that individual feeling to push forward and to pray for them?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not praying three times because there's a Trinity, there's three.
Right.
It is common sense that we just have seen through the years. Some people don't get healed immediately. One of the things, healing is a fight. Remember, it's dominion. So dominion implies a fight. So sometimes I'm praying, but the devil is resisting. That is why I can't answer every question. Why don't people get healed? But I know that healing is a fight. In the crusade, it was a fight. You're struggling in some ways. So yes, I will pray generally for a person three times. That's publicly, because I don't want to pray 15 times, because by the end everybody in the audience will be discouraged, right? So I'll do three, then I'll move on. But I do see people get healed the second time or the third time or something like that. Yeah. Yep. Devin?
What would you do, like, if you're in a miracle healing crusade, like a resistance where there's not miracles that are happening, you're continuing, or maybe pray for something you're trying to do?
Yeah. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of things. All right, I have declared to you the theology and the power of healing. What you're actually asking is now what I think John G. Lake used to call the art of healing. Pastor Richard talked about the art of healing. It was John G. Lake who originally said that. So there is an art to getting people healed in some situations. First and foremost, just pray for people. Don't worry about if you're doing it right. Just pray, and God will do miracles. But in a crusade, there are a number of common sense things that you have to do. When I come into a crusade, we have a strategy. That strategy is, first of all, we pray, we declare for salvation, get people saved. The most likely people to get healed are sinners who got saved that night. God will do that to demonstrate his love. Plus, they have no preconceived ideas of wrong healing. They can't say, I've been prayed for by 500 evangelists and none of them worked, and I dare you to heal me too. So that's why. So we start with sinners, all those at the altar. That's what you want to pray for. Number two, who you choose to pray for is the person who chooses is actually more important than the person who prays. In crusades, it's very crucial. That's why in Oceanside I have Rich Cox, or where do we go? San Luis in Mexico. Because the person who chooses. So in that, and then probably this is, I'll give you a shotgun version. When you are in a big crusade, that's why we have multiple people sifting through. I don't have time. Often you're preaching a revival or a crusade, there's only 10 people, there's only 5 people. I could personally speak to those people. I'm very good at it in working through. So I want to know, what's wrong? Have you gone to a doctor? What's the symptom? Are you in pain right now? Or is there a problem right now? How would we tell? Okay, so part of what you're doing is you're weeding out. So those are the practical questions, because in a healing crusade, I want to pray for things we can demonstrate. No, there's no symptoms. That's not the person I want to start with. I can pray for them later. What I want is I want to demonstrate for everyone else. In Den Haag, I prayed for someone and this lady began to weep. It was clear. Then she began to bend and move and cry and laugh. And so that's what I want first, because then it makes it easy. Everybody else is like, wow, if God did that for her, he can do it for me, right? Okay. Then, on the other hand, you are weeding out, right? What do you got? I have mental problems. Okay, you're not the person I'm going to put on the microphone first. Tell me about the voices in your head. I wouldn't do that, right? Religious people, they got strange ideas. They're not the person I want to. I'm looking for an unsaved person and then something demonstrable right now. That's what I'm looking for. That's the first part. Okay, so then you have a logical pool of people to pray for. The second thing is, each night I use common sense. So, you know, the first night of this crusade, we had breakfast next morning, and one of the guys, he was an evangelist, he was like upset. He's like, you didn't do it like Pastor Mitchell did. I said, and what does that mean? He said, you didn't ask all the pastors to come up and pray. And I said, and that was very deliberate. And he said, why? I said, because I didn't want everybody healed the first night. I have 2 more nights, right? So I'm using common sense. Common sense. So I come each night of a healing crusade with at least 2 categories. There are basic categories of things that I've seen get healed before. So I am, first of all, looking for sinners. Second of all, I'm each night, I don't care where you're from, if you've got cancer, I'll pray for you. Come up if you have cancer. Thirdly, then, I have a couple of categories of people that I'm going to pray for. I have 3 nights. I divide it up. What am I going to pray for? You know, that may be different. That may be different for each person. What are you comfortable with? What is God currently healing? Everywhere I go, God is healing rotator cuffs and digestive issues. So each, I'm praying for those things everywhere. I have a lot of confidence God will heal. Then another night, it might be people facing surgery and breathing difficulties, right? So I have some other things that I can, that's common sense. The third area, so we have sinners, we have practical categories of common sense. The third thing is then word of knowledge. God, are there people here, specific things or specific people that you want to heal tonight? And I'm open to that. So therefore, if I've had crusades to where, yep, all the people got saved, not one of them needs physical healing. All right, so I have to be able, remember we talked, or I don't know if you're in breakfast, we talked about pivoting. I have to pivot, I have to turn. So that's not working. Or I'm praying for these people and they're not getting healed. I have to move on to something else. Now I move my practical category. Then I move on to my... So that gives me the best chance of not getting completely stuck with people who don't get healed. Now, but on the other hand, in this is you are... healing is a fight. Yeah, there are nights that I pray and they suck. You know, I had one night, it was very frustrating for me. I think I had 2 people get powerfully healed. Everybody else was like, it's a bit better. No change. So, you know, and then Dutch people are maybe a little more resistant in various ways. So some night it is, but I made up my mind, don't matter. If this night sucks, I'm going to hit it again tomorrow night. Who Who knows? First night was okay. To me, they were excited. I didn't think it was very good. Second night was glorious. Everybody got healed. It was powerful. You know, that's the way it goes. So that's how I operate. Sorry?
Last night was cool.
The what?
Last night at 180.
Oh, yeah?
That's my first time experiencing it.
And what happened? What, the healing?
Yeah.
Okay, who prayed for the sick?
We prayed together, me and David, right?
All right.
And Matt prayed for him. He got his shoulder healed.
Who got healed? All right. Come on.
Yeah,
excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And not only that, so it's the first time you've seen it. Do you understand, you guys who have just gotten saved, you can pray for people and they'll get healed. Yeah, absolutely. It'll work for you too. Great. Matt?
What is the significance of asking about the whether they've seen a doctor? Is that a good, bad, or just more telling about the person? Or just more telling about the situation?
Well, you know, if I have somebody who come up to me and they tell me, hey, I have arteriosclerosis, have you gone to a doctor? No. Like, what? Okay. You know what I mean? So I'm doubtful, but the main thing is it actually helps the people, because in a crusade setting, you're involving the people. Okay. Right? So, okay, let's this is kind of moving further afield, but come here, Colby, you're my test case. All right, so we have in praying, so there's a number of things. I have an audience. All right, I'm praying for Colby, but I'm involving the audience. So I see guys, they make a mistake. It's like, you know, praise God. And like, what happened? No one knows.
Yeah.
So you have to involve. So a few practical things. When I am praying for the sick, you see I am talking to them on the side. Hmm. It doesn't make sense for me to go like this. I've just blocked everything that can happen. I do it on the side. You get the guy, the guy who holds the microphone for me. That's important. I want him to stand on the other side. I don't want him to stand in front or block, because I'm involving the people. The microphone is important. So now back to your question about the doctor. It's more powerful if Colby said that he had this injury and he went to the doctor. He's been operated on 3 times. Yeah. So this is like real. This is not just my tummy hurts.
Yeah.
I'll pray for your hurting tummy, but it's more powerful if I know a doctor was involved. This was a genuine diagnosis, right? Wow. So before I pray, I'm getting this. How long for? And I won't let them give me their entire, you get some people with their motor mouths, they go, it all started in 1917. Yeah. Like, no, I don't want the whole story. I ask the questions. How long have you had it? What did the doctor say? Are you under treatment right now? Yes, I'm on pills. I had surgery. What did the doctor say? He can't do anything. So now I'm telling the people that. So he's been to the doctor. The doctor says nothing more can be done because the first surgery didn't work. Okay, I've now told them what the problem is. So when I pray for him and he gets healed, it's now more powerful. That's the point. I'm involving the audience. Then after I pray, check it. And yeah, the pain is gone. I don't say, praise God, okay, let's move on. You make a fuss over this, because the reason why is other people's faith is getting encouraged. That is why you involve other people. Thanks, Colin, for saying that. Mm-hmm. So that is why you, I had a lady, I kept on, come on, go down the stairs, come back. You couldn't do that before. Because other people now, their faith is getting stirred, because you're showing that this is real.
Yeah.
in that. And they demonstrate. So I had them lift, pick up that speaker. I had a guy one night, you know. And it hurts to lift. Pick up that speaker. And he did. And the pain left. You know, lift it up high. Another kid, I said, run. And he'd take off. We were out in a huge field. And I said, run. So he took off running. And then came back and he said, there's no pain when I run, you know. So that is your that again comes back to, you know, Devin's question. There's an art to healing. I see guys who don't understand that. They have powerful miracles, not on the microphone. No one knows what happened. that's not in your best interest of the whole crusade, right?
Yeah, and another then, when somebody gets partially healed, and we even see that with Jesus, with three ministries walking, yeah. Is that just like the spirit is holding on or clinging, or is it...
I don't know. In every case, I don't know. That is the time I don't begin with forgiveness, fear, cast out, break the curse. I don't do that. I actually, for the sake of time, I actually lead them in a prayer very little. I just pray for them, see what happens. Now, if there's no change, or if there's a little change, now I can say, is there somebody that you are bitter at, or I can move on to, there's just different things. By the Spirit of God, by common sense. Bitterness, fear, guilt would be three of the powerful reasons, right? And so the answer in bitterness is, I forgive fear. I cast out fear. Did this come on you? Did something happen to you? When did this come on? And somebody would, after I had a car accident and I was terrified ever since and I've been sick. Okay, so fear is a part of that. Let's pray and cast out fear. Guilt, I have people, they're not getting healed. Have you done something that you feel guilty for? You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, right? So those are some practical things that I can say to people and then begin to work with them. So, but then you get resistance. I don't know, Matt. You get in there were all kinds of funky things going on in Holland. It was a struggle in various ways, and I don't have the answer to that. All I know, I made up my mind, I'm going to believe God and pray for the sick. So if some people get partially healed, I'm still going to keep praying for the sick. If no one gets healed, I'm still going to pray for the sick. I made up my mind, I'm going to believe God.
So when you're preaching to large groups or small groups, at what point are you praying for group healing? Or bring them up on stage and pray individually?
Well, it all depends. For it to be group healing, there's two different things. If we're talking about mass healing is when the crowds are so large it would be impossible. Right? Peter Youngren, what's the name of the guy? Daniel Kalenda took over from Reinhard Bonnke. So they got crowds of 500,000 people, a million people, right? You're at the back. you're not coming to the front. We're going to wait for that brother to come here. We're going to have an interlude music while that person makes their way from three blocks away, you know. So if you're only praying mass prayer, you have to have a mass of people. That's my general rule of thumb. And when Pastor Mitchell first started, when he and I was praying in America, he was praying here. When he first started, no one was praying for the sick. So mass prayer, he actually would pray as a group for everyone, and he got a lot of healings that way. But then more people pray for the sick. Then you have people, their own faith and discouragement and different factors. So you need a mass of people to pray for mass things. Now, one of the things that I do is, remember I said I have a couple of practical things I'm going to pray for? Is what I did is one night I had two good healings, and then it's kind of a struggle, a little bit better, no change like that. Then I shifted and I prayed out, how many here have breathing difficulties? So I didn't need all those to come up to that. Stand up right now. Put your hand on your lungs. And I prayed, now take a breath. And so numbers of people were healed that way. Another night it was digestive issues. I prayed mass. I didn't pray. I didn't have every person come on the stage. Because, of course, I can't see it. They got to eat. And then I got a powerful miracle I'm using the sermon this morning of a guy who got prayed that way. He got healed, rather, when I prayed for mass for everybody at the same time.
Okay, so crowd is the indicator whether you're going to do a mass prayer.
Yep. Yeah. And then, of course, in conference, the building is jammed. I can't. If I'm called, I can't. It's in, number one, it's live stream. So some of the things that God may show me, they might not be here. They might be in live stream. Number two, It takes a long time in a crowd, especially because the aisles are jammed. The dynamics are just too long for me to have them come up on stage, right? So the crowd is the determining factor. So therefore, I'm praying mass for everybody because we have a mass of people. Good.
Do you suppose that, like with dealing with the demonic when you're praying with people, you believe that today there's a lot more witchcraft behind a lot of the things that you're saying?
It can be. Yeah, people are just, they open themselves to crap these days just by movies, and they get interested in junk they have no business being involved in. So yeah, it can be. Witchcraft is a part of that, sure.
When you're sitting people down, and you know, you're holding up their leg to see if one's short, you said you kind of like shy away from that to a degree. Is there an element where you use that to?
You can do it to build faith. Yeah, yeah. You can do it to build faith. Yes, if necessary. But I don't do it automatically. No, that's just my style is moving through the people, and then you get people. They think this is a simple thing, Daniel. Why? We read two different deaf mutes and Jesus prayed different each time, right? So we have, you think of all the different ways. In one, to the leper, he touched him and said, be clean. In another one, he spit and made mud and put it on his eyes. And so Jesus knew if he did the same each time, then people would say that is the only way to pray. And you're a heretic and going to hell if you don't pray. You got to spit and make mud every time, right? So that's part of the thing. I get people that they think sitting in the chair is what heals them. That's my point. So obviously it's a time factor in doing that. I have no problem doing that, but that's not that's a personal preference. That's not my first default, sit in the chair, let's check your leg. That to me is the person not getting healed. Now let's test it. Let's check it in that way, right? But other people, if they want to do it different, I have no... All I want you to do is pray for the sick. That's all.
I noticed during the crusade when you were praying for a gentleman, at first he wasn't healed, and then you were leading him in a prayer to forgive, and there was some resistance. He didn't want to forgive at first. If you come up against a person who's just refusing to forgive, is that a moment where you just pivot, or do you give some explanation maybe to the people as to why there won't be a breakthrough?
You know, there's a lot of ways you have to pivot if you're praying for the sick. I think that's only, I've only ever had one person who just refused. And that I just said, look, then there's nothing I can do for you. This is something, it's a heart issue. Why don't you think about that? And okay, we'll move along. And then I was praying for a guy one time at a service, and he wasn't saved, and so I'm leading him in a prayer and say, I admit I'm a sinner. He's like, no way will I say that. I said, I'm not going to be able to help you. Because that's not just,
right.
I'm not sure. He was resistant. So my chance of him getting healed is like, yeah, okay, God. And part of that is you learn, again, in the art, is you don't, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this suck egg dog refuses to forgive. Right? So there are things that you get in common sense, pray short. Right? There are things I feel something funky. I'm not going to ignore them. I'm going to give them, God help them. All right, let's move on now to somebody else or that person. God, do a miracle in their heart. Help their body. All right, you let us know what happens. Okay, I'm just kind of moving away without making a big deal of it. Okay. And I've even had people one night, they're struggling with healing. Next night, they decide they're going to, and God healed them. So that's a possibility. Yep.
Can the believer heal himself?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It says lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say who it has to be. Sure, you can pray for yourself. Absolutely. Most definitely. Over here.
Paul was thrown aside. You say he had thrown aside. What was there? I mean, that was. He wasn't able to heal from that.
Well, no, that's not. First of all, that's a misunderstanding. It doesn't say that it's sickness. There are people in church background, they try to make that, see, God doesn't take away healing. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says it was a messenger from Satan. It was something demonic. And part of that was the, and he even explains it, was so that he wouldn't, he was a guy who, he was caught up into heaven for crying out loud. So you imagine how easy it would be for you to be filled with pride. You know, somebody else, your wife says, I need you to take out the trash, like I was caught up in heaven, you know. So, but it's common sense. So it's a demonic messenger, and it does not explain exactly what that was. But it's very common. It's a misinterpretation that that was healing, and he wasn't healed. Thorn in the side, if you look in the Old Testament, the Bible says, your enemies will be thorns in your side. So obviously, these were not men sticking out of your side. It's something that is vexing and irritating to you. So that's how you interpret scripture with other scripture. Daniel?
Praying for a short leg, so I've had my leg throughout the past. Whenever I went out for prayer, he didn't like check. He was like, your right leg is short. Like, I knew he wasn't checking.
But that's word of knowledge, though. Sure. But that's he's very experienced, right? He's older than dirt, so. Just help me out, Chris. I love you. Yeah. When you get experience, you could do that. That's great. And that is something, it is a confirmation. I've seen, of course, I saw your grandpa have that, and I've seen your father and JW and him and other men of God. That's great. This is kind of a confirmation that God is at work here. So, but it's not necessary. You don't have to have that, of course. If you're starting out and you don't have that at work yet, check and see whether their leg is short, right? Yeah. Good. Very good. Okay. We will stop there. Now we're going to pray for the sick in this morning's service.